Please do take a seat. I need a volunteer to give me a hand. Great, thank you. Did I say volunteer? I meant victim. Right, cool, just stand there for a minute. It's a very simple job you've got to do. Okay, all we're going to do is just... No, it's not going to work, hang on. My job apparently is more complicated. There we go. Blindfold you. Yeah, he can't see. Good. Right, just stay there. Good. There might be some chocolate later. All right. Can you see?
No, it was falling down.
He's honest too, so this is good. Better?
Yeah.
Can you still feel?
Yes.
Excellent. That's also good. So, Jesus appears. He says to Thomas, stop doubting and believe. And sometimes faith is a bit like that. Sometimes faith is a battle with our doubts. Sometimes, indeed, believing in Jesus can feel like it's something that is too good to be true. Jesus says to him, stop doubting and believe. It's quite fun today that Easter is falling on April 1st. And I did try and say to a few people that our April Fool's joke was that we were saying there was breakfast before the service, but really there wouldn't be any, which I thought would be quite funny, but might get some of us in trouble. But anyway, so there was breakfast before the service, and thank you very much to those who pulled all that together, because it was lovely. But it can feel a bit almost like it's too good to be true, isn't it? Like it's an April Fool's joke. And Kate and I were out for dinner the other night, and we were sat there and we were overhearing a little bit of a conversation that was going loudly on a table behind us. And they got on to talking about Easter, and it was Easter coming up. And there was something along the lines of this conversation was, well, Christmas is all right, it's a bit more believable. There was just a baby that was born. But Easter, how stupid is it to believe that someone came back to life again? How on earth could you believe that was the conversation that was going on behind us? It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are being lost, but to us who are being saved it is the power of God. Sometimes though it can be a battle like Thomas with the doubts that we feel. Jesus says that blessed are you who believe. That he says to Thomas, you believe because you have seen. Jesus says to him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed, he says. Thomas wasn't just a doubter. Thomas actually was someone who turned his doubts into belief. He comes and he says to Jesus, my Lord and my God. He recognises who Jesus really is, that Jesus really is God. He comes and he worships him. We don't get to see like Thomas did. But we do have evidence, like we just said. We've got all this evidence in John helping point us towards who Jesus is and what he's done and that he really rose from the dead. We don't get to touch and to feel like Thomas did. But we can look at the evidence that's been recorded for us that Jesus really did rise from the dead. We don't get first-hand experience of Jesus like Thomas did. But if Jesus really rose from the dead, he's still alive today. And I know that many of you and I know him today. We're experiencing him in our lives today by the power of the Holy Spirit. That we can know him in some way like Thomas did. And it goes on. The purpose of John's Gospel, right at the end of John chapter 20. He says this. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. It's written that we might believe who Jesus is and that he really rose to the dead, but not just believe it, not just know something, not just know some facts, but by believing, we might have life in his name. And that's what we see, actually, as we look through John's Gospel. We've been working through John's Gospel as a church over the last 12 weeks or so. And we see in John again and again the way it talks about life. Right from the start, John chapter 1 verse 4 says this, in him was life, and that life was the light for all mankind. Right at the start, he talks about life in who Jesus is. John 10:10, one of my favourite verses, says that Jesus came that we might have life and have it to the full. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's more to Easter It's in just thinking about actually the forgiveness of sins. What Jesus did on the cross was amazing, that he died to pay the price for our sins. But when he rose from the dead, he showed us that life, a fullness of life, is possible. And we see it all through John. We see it in the kind of signs and the miracles that Jesus did. Jesus went to a party and they were running out of wine, and Jesus turns water into wine. Jesus takes something that was nothing. Jesus makes wine out of water and makes it the best wine that they'd had. Jesus brings this amazing experience to life, and even in this midst of this party. Jesus meets a Samaritan woman who's out at a well in the middle of the day. You didn't go and get water in the middle of the day from a well because it was too hot. She was there because she was rejected, because she had no friends, because no one liked her. She had to go on her own. And she meets Jesus there, and Jesus transforms her life. She goes running back and telling all the other people, all the rest of her community. She starts telling about Jesus. And do you know what she says that's amazing? When she goes back and she tells the other people about Jesus, they've rejected her because of the life that she's led. And she goes and tells them, come and meet this guy. He told me everything I've ever done. He told me everything I've ever done. He knew everything about me. And he didn't reject me. And suddenly she's the one telling others good news when she was the one who'd been rejected. She finds this new life. Jesus, in John chapter 6, feeds 5,000 people. He takes just a few loaves and a few fish and feeds 5,000 people with it. He takes a tiny bit that one person was able to offer and turns it into something huge. He brings life in that situation. Jesus, in John chapter 9, takes a man who'd been born blind and gives him sight. Hello. How are you doing over here?
Okay.
Are you meaning to stay upright? I was thinking by now. Okay. Yeah, I was thinking by now you might be, I'm not sure which way is up just about, but you're still just about on your feet. Why are you walking away from me? It's not very nice not being able to see, is it?
No.
No, you'd be wondering whether I was going to come and do something mean, probably, yeah, because I said victim. No, I'm not going to do anything mean, but it's not great not being able to see, is it? And it's quite transformative when you get your sight back. Is that better?
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you for being my little visual aid. You can have a seat. And you can have some chocolate too. Catch. I was thinking about throwing it to you when you had your blindfold on, but it wouldn't work very well. Jesus takes someone who's blind and gives them their sight back. What an amazing picture of life being transformed. Imagine that, of living a life blind and suddenly having your eyes open. And it's a picture of what Jesus does spiritually, of taking people who are blind and can't see who he is and enabling them to see and have life in him. That's the fullness of life that Jesus talks about taking something that's plain and ordinary and boring, taking water, taking someone who's blind, taking someone who was rejected, taking a hungry people and bringing them life. I was trying to think of a way of kind of visually illustrating this. If you were here last year at Easter, you might remember I threw my son into the baptistry. I almost wanted to do that again just because it was fun, but I felt I had to do something different. We've got this thing at home, which is quite cool and fun for the kids to play with. But it's something that in some ways looks quite ordinary. And then when you come and do something with it, it can suddenly transform to something that looks a bit different. It's something of what Jesus does. Just a little picture to say that he takes things that are plain and ordinary and blank and turns them into something truly amazing. Jesus brings life. I didn't think what I was going to do with that after I got it really wet. We'll find that later. And that's what Bernice is going to do today when she gets baptized. She's not going to come up in multicoloured, but Bernice has come to believe in Jesus and has found life in his name. And Jesus says, I've come so that you might have life and have it in its fullness. So what's bland and boring might be turned into something tasty. So where they're hungry, they might be fed. The blind will see. The rejected will be welcomed. Jesus came. He really rose from the dead that we might have life in his name. John wrote these things that you might believe in Jesus, and that believing in him, you might have life in his name. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he came and died for us. We thank you that he rose again from the dead. We thank you that Jesus has conquered sin, conquered all the things that we've done wrong. conquered even death itself, and that by believing in him, we can have true life. Life in all its fullness, in all its richness, in all its colour, in all its wonderfulness now, and eternal life with you, our God. We thank you and we praise you, Jesus. Amen.